Hello everyone, welcome to a very special podcast. My name's Stevie and I'm here for Fan Media at Ibrox to speak to Mr. Conall Cochrane, who is, well, we're going to find out actually, about his role in the Rangers Charity Foundation. Conall, good morning, thanks for joining us. Can you tell us just about your role, as we spoke about, in the Rangers Charity Foundation, and what is like a typical working kind of week and day for you at Rangers Football Club?
Morning, Stevie. Thanks for having me. It's always great to be able to talk about the foundation's work. And I guess in terms of my role, I joined the foundation over 19 years ago. So you can imagine my role's changed quite a lot over that time. Because when I joined the foundation, I was the only employee. And it was a really young organisation. And now we have 25 staff and about 15 part-time community coaches, so it's a real transformation over that time. Every week is different, but in general I'll be linking in with members of the foundation senior management team to discuss progress or any challenges and new opportunities, and also helping to drive forward some new and more complex projects. For example, the recent and ongoing upgrade of the Ibrox Community Complex, which we have a long-term lease of from Glasgow City Council. I also enjoy meeting external partners, attending externally facing events, really to help kind of chaperone new relationships and working out with the foundation team if there are new opportunities for partnerships or ways that we can work, always with the objective and thinking in the back of our minds is how can this make a difference for people and how can we, you know, increase the impact that the foundation is happening. Also, when I can, I do my best to visit some of our participants and programmes. Last week we had all our wider achievement schools coming in to play in a tournament over at the Ibrox complex, so it was great to meet some of them, including some pupils from Oban. That's one of our new partnerships from the secondary school there. But I think in general terms my role is to try and make it as easy as possible for everybody else in the foundation team to be able to do their jobs. So if there's obstacles, challenges, new things that need to be put in place to make life easier to deliver a strategy, then that's where I'll come in.
So, in a nice way, you are the boss of the Charity Foundation, and that's you obviously joined in 2005.
Yeah.
And the first employee start, and that's a great story in itself, never mind anything else. What is Rangers' role in the community and the founding principles of the organisation?
I think we always view ourselves as being trying to embody the charitable spirit of the Rangers family, the wider Rangers family. We are the official charity of the club. They established the foundation in 2002. So there is a really strong charitable spirit. And obviously, a club of the stature and history and size of Rangers means that people will view the charitable side of things has been really broad, and actually that's one of the things I think marks out the foundation now as something fairly unique, is the sheer variety of ways in which we help people in the wider community. It makes life difficult at times, you know, because we're working with people of all ages. We've got 20 different programs in the community. We're raising funds that give direct financial support to local, national and international charities, and we give out a lot of in-kind support. So it's very varied, but we want to embody that strong charitable spirit and grow it because we're really proud of what we do. There's an absolutely fantastic team at the foundation, and we're all so dedicated in what we do every single day. So it has developed over the years. I think every football-related foundation or trust is different. But I would say that how we help the wider community at the foundation is unique and varied, as I was just saying, especially when you consider the size of the foundation. I know I said we've increased from 1 member of staff to 25, but last season we were delivering community programs to 10,500 people directly, and that's before you even look at the funding that we give to the different local, national and international charities. And really, going back to your original question about what our role is, I think it's to try and make a difference where society needs us. Mm. Because we're not glory seeking in the sense that it's all about look at what we're doing or what we've handed out. It's trying to make sure that the resources we do have can make the biggest difference for people. And that can be around health, including mental health, diversity and inclusion, education, training. It's so varied. I mean, any one week at the foundation could include adults coming in to benefit from our recovery drop-in service over at the Ibrox complex. We have a group of men who are affected by prostate cancer who take part in special football fans and training session. We got primary pupils enjoying our Joy of Moving program. And a lot of the older young people we work with are in secondary schools, now in five local authority areas, who may be quite disengaged from school. In fact, some of the young people rarely, if at all, go to school. But what the Rangers Charity Foundation does is provide that hook that gets people interested and wanting to take part. And I think that's true of so many of our programmes for young people and adults, that we can be that hook and that difference that enables them to feel that they want to give it a go. And giving it a go could be, I've never had a job. I could do with a bit more confidence and skills to get a job. I've always wanted to lose weight, but I'd rather do it with like-minded people. So I'll go along to the football fans and training programme. Or in terms of the recovery drop-in service, the people that are recovering from addictions, again, we're providing that warm welcome hand of friendship that enables people to come together to share their life experiences and hopefully move forward in a trusted environment where we have the staff with the skills to give people that confidence to move forward.
Something you said there was quite nice, and I'll try and say it properly. It's not so much a question, Conal, but something you said I actually quite like, the fact that when we do these things as the foundation, it's we don't seek, you know, front page headlines for it. Basically, it's all done for the greater good, subtly, and I really like that. But I get the sense that perhaps for you, talking about these kind of things isn't as natural, but it's good for us to hear what the foundation actually does. That makes sense. And although we're not maybe wanting to broadcast it as such and be subtle in the background, it's nice to have that from you. I think that's quite nice.
I mean, we do want to broadcast what we do, but we don't do the things we do purely to to glory hunt.
That's nice.
I mean, in terms of our communications, I think we fluctuate around the fourth or fifth highest social media platform followers on a UK level in terms of our reach as a football-related foundation, which, you know, is tremendous. But I think, you know, the variety of things that we do is so big, it's difficult to articulate that to everyone or have the time. I'd love to sit down with every Rangers fan to be able to talk about what we do and for them to see the passion and difference that we're making and meet some of the staff and participants, because we can only exist and do what we can do with the support of the Rangers family. And that was how the foundation was founded, because when I joined, we weren't delivering programmes in the community. We were raising funds and we had three national partners each year that we gave funds out to and did a lot of in-kind support. And so our ground basis has really come from that engagement with supporters and how they can help raise funds for us. And I think I told people never underestimate how we can make a difference for people. And because we do it in a way, rephrase that, for me, it's about, and it comes back to the point I was making before about not doing things for the sake of it or for publicity, is the best difference I think we can make for people is one that's lasting.
Yeah. And maximum impact, yeah.
So that could mean that we're working with some people for quite a period of time. We have a full-time trauma counsellor at the foundation, and you know, we can't talk in detail about some of the situations, but many people will have been impacted through childhood and into adulthood with various traumas. And what our trauma counsellor is able to do is, again, in that trusted, confidential environment, is enable them to process aspects of their life and to help provide the tools and confidence to re-engage with society. And you know, you can look on, there'll be hundreds and hundreds of individual stories about the lasting and tangible benefit that we make, and even if you look at two or three, that difference is really priceless for that person. It really is.
Yeah, this is very humbling, I think, in a way, to listen to this. So it's perhaps I've repeated this question, I'm not meaning to, so excuse me if I have, but what are the foundation's kind of missions and values?
Well, our mission is to be a force for good on behalf of the Rangers family, showing compassion to those in need, tackling inequalities and creating opportunities for people of all ages to change their lives for the better. So hopefully some of the things I've just been describing are embodied in that mission. In terms of our values, we have five written values, if you like, that we're compassionate, that we're open, that we're inclusive, committed to excellence, and confident custodians. So if you look at the last one, for example, that means that if we're custodians, some of the examples of some of the people and situations working that we work with, we need to make sure that we have appropriately skilled and supported staff to work with vulnerable young people and adults. And so we take that trust that people have in us and that responsibility really seriously. We want to do things really well and do right by people. We want to be open and inclusive. And I think we are incredibly compassionate. If you look at our dream days, for example, which we have a number of times a year, that there are many people who are going through a tough time. And I think on our recent dream day up at the training ground, a large proportion of the people that we were creating a special experience for were affected with a terminal illness. And so, you know, that is a very humbling responsibility to be able to create a memorable experience for those families. And that's what my colleague Rachel, who coordinates our Dream Fund, does exceptionally well. So whenever somebody gets in touch and is seeking a hand of friendship or support, we try and be as compassionate and generous as possible. Even if you look at people who are raising funds for causes close to their own hearts and will give out donations of stadium tours or match tickets or signed memorabilia, again with the support of the club, it's very difficult to get us to say no. You know, well over 80% of the people that write into us get a positive response. And we have a volunteer who comes in every couple of weeks to help us keep on top of those inquiries as well.
What impact does the foundation have in the community? I know we've kind of touched upon it already, but I would like to find out a wee bit more about that.
Well, if you look at our community programmes, for example, there's around 20 different community programmes being delivered at any one time for people of all ages. I think it's impossible to do full justice to all of those in this interview. But as I said, wherever possible, what we're trying to do is to make a lasting and tangible difference for people. We're a Scottish qualifications accredited centre, and that's something listeners might not appreciate. And that enables us to provide nationally recognised qualifications to young people and adults. And going back to the comment I gave before about our wider achievement programme, there's 21 secondary schools across 5 local authorities who send young people to the foundation one day a week for the whole school year. And at the end of that time with us, they're receiving SQA awards. And for some of them, that will be the only thing that they leave school with. But it is a platform that can be used to go to college or further training or education. Again, with building better mental health, it's something that is much more to the fore in recent years. And we have 2 different programmes that we're working with. Our Team Talk programme is one example of that. All of our work, our charity work, is split into 7 different pillars at the moment. So the one I've just been talking about with wider achievement would come under our potential pillar. And you know, since we established that SQA accredited centre, there's over 1,000 awards that have been made, which for us as a relatively small organisation is huge. Last year, almost 100 young people went on to college or further education directly from our programmes. Healthy Lives is another one of our pillars. Last season, over 4,000 primary kids took part in our Get Ready for Sport programme. And again, that makes me really proud that the foundation is able to reach so many young people, not just to hopefully get them to start enjoying sport, but also to, it's maybe their first interface with the foundation and by extension Rangers Football Club. And that's important for me too, is that the public, young people, people of all ages, get an appreciation of what the club embodies. What goes on the pitch is, you know, really important. And, you know, we always would want to be champions on the pitch, but along with the foundation team, I'm keen for us to be champions off the pitch as well, as we go about our business, helping people in such a variety of ways. If you look at our diversity inclusion work, one of our most successful programmes is our autism friendly football. It's always oversubscribed and generously supported. And you know, 90% of the parents and carers of young people taking part in that programme really highlight the improvement in their young person's ability to communicate. And with autism, it is a spectrum, obviously, and some young people will always stay on that programme, but some, their confidence and ability to socialise and engage with others has increased with their time with us, and that's enabled them to move on to a local grassroots community football club, which is great. Other programmes, again, it's so hard to summarise everything that we do. I've talked about our Dream Day experiences and the in-kind requests that we give. It was just under 2,000 requests that we responded to last season, and that probably has a value of around £160,000 that we calculated. So that's all the memorabilia and tickets and experiences. A better world is another pillar. And so instead of the community programs, if I focus on the cash support that we'll give out, this season we recently donated £25,000 to the British Heart Foundation. Yes. And it's been a wonderful partnership. And for us, again, going back to that lasting difference. For me, it's not just about handing over a donation. For me, those partnerships, it's also about boosting the profile of a cause or some aspect of that charity's work during the year. And, you know, Jennifer and the communications team do a great job in promoting our work. And what we were trying to do this season was to encourage more and more people to log on and learn how to perform CPR,
yes,
if they ever were in that situation, through the British Heart Foundation's Reviver app. And we did a match day takeover to help promote that. We're taking people's blood pressure in the fan zone. I went and got that done myself. So that's one example of the cash support. We also have an armed forces fund. Again, it's a clause that is really close to the hearts of many supporters and certainly mine. And I guess it's the one operational thing, go off on a slight tangent, I have kept hold on as my responsibilities have grown over the years, because I coordinate the club and the foundation's celebration of Armed Forces Day at the stadium each year, and also Remembrance. And I'm involved in Lowland Reserve and Cadets Forces Association on their strategy and advocacy board. We've got an affiliation with HMS Defender. I've done a couple of personal challenges with the Army and Royal Marines. So our association with the Armed Forces is something that is really important to me, and we make donations to Armed Forces charities each year. In fact, it's almost reaching £250,000 now that we've donated over the years to different forces-related charities. If we look internationally, we've provided 1 million vaccines for UNICEF's work around the world. We also make a donation each year to Glasgow Children's Hospital charity. And through our Big Ibrox Sleepouts, we've donated over £300,000 to homeless projects within Glasgow. And these donations, you know, they couldn't happen without supporters taking on challenges or attending fundraising events for us. And our True Blue Hero initiative is one thing that stood the test of time. If people raise a certain amount of funds for the foundation, they're invited to a reception to receive a True Blue Hero medal from a member of the first team squad. And for me, that is a great opportunity those evenings to talk about, like I am now, about the difference that the foundation's work is making, because you can just talk directly to people, and I always enjoy that, and try and speak from the heart, because it's very difficult not to. There's times where I remember when it was our 20th anniversary and I was speaking to different groups of staff from the club, and I think pretty much on each occasion my voice broke and I started to get emotional, because I was talking about a certain situation of, you know, a young person that we were supporting, what their life was like and how we were able to make a difference. So it's something that we're so passionate about.
I actually have a True Blue medal. I'm pleased to say that I've done the 5K run, but it was during COVID.
Right, yeah, so everybody had to do it from
home. I actually filmed mine for the website, so somewhere there is a film of me looking pretty red in the cheeks running around Cowan Park in Barrhead. So, yeah, I think that's great. You've kind of touched on this, but and maybe I'll slightly expand on it more if you could tell us about some of the current ongoing charity drives and recent donations you've made. Obviously, we spoke about the British Heart Foundation, yeah, which was a really well-received one. Is there anything else that's currently kind of we should know about, or maybe upcoming as well?
Yeah, so we're just about to make our donations this year for our Armed Forces Fund charities, and that will be split between Bravehound and Military Matters. We have been supporting UNICEF's Children's Emergency Fund throughout the season, so that enables UNICEF, if there's an emergency happening, that they've got the funds in the bank ready to draw upon, and that's even before they start any external appeal. We recently launched, just within the last week, a new programme called Count Me In, and it's a new football programme for young adults with additional learning needs, and that's going to run on Friday evenings over at the Ibrox Community Complex. And just a couple of weeks ago, we were absolutely delighted to receive funding from the Armed Forces Covenant Fund Trust. Bit of a mouthful, the name of that trust, but that's going to enable us to deliver a new programme that helps forces veterans who are struggling to adapt back into civilian life. So for the next 3 years, we will be delivering an annual 14-week programme to help those veterans build their resilience and confidence and life skills. Something that we do very well, I would say, as a theme. Two of our long-standing programmes are actually, we've had to pause them actually at the moment because we don't have the funds to sustain them. One of them being Walking Football, which had some external funding support for the last 2 years through a European project that we did in collaboration with other football foundations and trusts in Europe, and also our Football Memories programme for people affected by Alzheimer's and dementia. So really, if there's anyone or any businesses out there that might be interested in lending them their support to help these great programmes continue, you know, please get in touch with me at the foundation. I mean, there is such a variety of programmes that we do. It's a real juggling act to be able to have them all continuing all the time. And even as we come over the next few months to start developing a new 5-year strategy for the foundation, it's going to be really hard to think about changing any of the programmes that we do, because it's all about making a difference, and we are making a difference on each and every single one of them. But you know, different needs in society and in the local community change over time. So it's about navigating the ship that is the foundation in a way that is compassionate to the needs that are out there. And we always want to be open to new opportunities and working with new partners, because it's not always about us doing everything ourselves. That sometimes the impact that we can have can be multiplied if we work with other organisations that have similar goals.
How do Rangers help the organisation and help you?
In a great variety of ways. I mean, first of all, they provide our accommodation here at the stadium. They really strongly backed our long-term lease recently of the Ibrox Community Complex, and that included financial support towards the fantastic new 3G pitch there.
Mm-hmm.
We can have access to players to help promote and celebrate our work. Alongside our communications staff, the reach of the club's social media is absolutely huge. So whenever we have positive stories or new events like our Simply the West Challenge, which we launched recently to encourage people to hike 20 miles of the West Highland Way, they can really amplify that. So whenever the club shares something, we notice it immediately. Mm-hmm. If we're promoting an event or sharing a new video. And they donate, as I was saying before, memorabilia and opportunities to have tours of the stadium and attend matches, so that can help with our in-kind support, or for hosting our Dream Day experiences up at the training ground. So there's a whole variety of ways that the club supports the foundation, which we're very grateful for. And I've always felt part of the club and felt that the staff within the club are my colleagues, and I hope they feel the same of the foundation, because we couldn't exist without the club, and as I said before, we couldn't exist without the support of the wider Rangers family. So hopefully we can all, you know, harness the intent behind the foundation to make it as successful as possible and to continue to thrive and flourish.
Finally, you touched on something about some of the projects being paused, and I think that's a great way to kind of end this, because my question was, how can we, as a fan base, a wider fan base, maybe even companies that are listening and things like that, help your organisation, and how do we go about it? How do we contact you?
Well, contact details are always on our dedicated website, rangerscharity.org, and pick up the phone as well, whether it's to myself or anyone in the foundation team. But I think going back to our purpose, there are so many programmes that we deliver and they're all free at the point of use. So please have a look on our website, and if there's a programme that might be of interest to you, whether it's football fans and training or any other programme, you know, get in touch. And there might be a programme there that that you'll benefit from. You can help us promote any new initiatives or fundraising events. So, for example, our Simply the West challenge that's coming up on Saturday, the 1st of June. That'd be great if you can help us promote that. I think we've got a target to try and reach 65 participants, and we're sitting at 32 at the moment. So that can really make a difference. You or anybody listening can come up with their own fundraising event or initiative, or if it's a company, there might be a cause or a program that resonates personally or with the company, and they might want to approach us to take one of the programs under their wings from a sponsorship point of view, or take more interest in that. But as I mean, I always enjoy talking about the foundation's work, any aspect of it really. And so if there's an opportunity for an ongoing relationship with yourselves, that would be great. And it wouldn't always have to be me that is in the hot seat. It could be another member of the team, or even a focus on a particular program or aspect of what we do that helps give a deeper insight into the difference that we make. Because I always feel that it's hearing and seeing people's stories that sticks. And you know, two recent videos that were shared are really powerful in that regard. The story of William and John, who came to our Dream Fund experience, and also Sonny, a boy who's part of our autism friendly football, and his parents talking about the difference that that's made. So I'd encourage anyone to have a look at those two stories as two examples, and that gives you a real insight to how the foundation can make a difference, and which I hope leaves anybody viewing them as a Rangers fan or who's been listening to this interview to share in the pride of what we're doing, that they can feel some ownership of the charitable spirit that exists within the club and is delivered through the foundation.
Conal, thanks very much for your time. Pleasure. It's been a wonderful insight, truly humbling when you think about the extent of our reach as a foundation and the job we're doing. Thank you so much for your time, but also thank you for the wonderful job you're doing on behalf of just Rangers fans out there.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Four Lads Bite Size Podcast is proud to be sponsored by Rhino Express and Clyde View Joinery, certified fire door installer and maintainer. Also in association with Rangers Pools, Zenith Coins and Alexander Campbell Interiors. Please share and follow the pod to help us grow. We hope you enjoyed the show.